welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Obert, how we doing?
Doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just good? Nothing? I mean, you said you were done with the NFL, right?
No, not done with the NFL. I think if it ends up being 49ers versus anybody on the AFC side, I'll be done. I mean, I won't watch the Super Bowl. That'll be fine, but...
You'll watch the Super Bowl.
Won't watch the Super Bowl. Everybody
what are you
going to
do instead?
I'll see if there's a Premier League game on, right?
Because at 8 p.m. our time.
Is that when the Super Bowl is this year?
7:30.
I feel like it's typically at like
7, 7:30 is when like it usually 5. Starts, I think.
But we'll see. So hopefully I'll try and find something else on. Maybe there's a college basketball game.
So like you're not going to watch it with me?
No. I mean, if it's 49ers, anybody, no. I won't. But I mean, hey.
You know, actually, that kind of hurts a little bit. Okay.
I'll wish you the best. I mean, I just do not care for any of the three of the four teams, but I'll still root for the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Hopefully they make it to the Super Bowl, and if they do, then I will watch the Super Bowl.
Why are you an Eagles fan?
Absolutely not. I am a anti 49ers, Bengals, and Chiefs. So
can I ask you why you hate the 49ers?
I have for 3 or 4 years now, ever dating back to the Monday Night Football game against the Cleveland Browns.
So that's the only reason why?
That's what started it.
And now I mean, it's just it's mounting. Because of the last couple of years, it's just
right.
Unraveled and keeps snowballing.
Yep.
But you don't hate them as much as like the Steelers, right?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
If it ended up being 49ers Bengals or 49ers Chiefs, I would probably root for the 49ers, I guess. But
you would root for the stadium to blow up.
No. God, no. I love people. People are people. That's what I've always said. And I'm a people-loving guy. I love people. So
we're going to do our takeaways from the divisional round. We're also going to make our predictions for the championship round. I'm not sure if we'll be able to get another podcast out this week. So I wanted to make sure that we talked about these games because they are so important. So first, I got to ask you. I know you got some takeaways about them Cowboys. Give them to me.
How about them Cowboys? No.
I can play the sound if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead. Please, for the final time.
Was it the blue one?
Blue one. Nope.
No.
How about
there it is.
Listen, you know, it was a tough loss, no doubt about it. But I will say this. Let me say this, you know, dating back to some of our past episodes. For all of the lowlifes out there, and I really mean lowlifes. Kyle Brandt, NFL Good Morning. I'm talking Nick Wright, Colin Cowherd. A lot of these guys I've got respect for, a lot of respect. But, you know, they make me mad.
You like Nick Wright and
yes.
Cowherd.
You know, Stephen A. Smith, a lot of the other Cowboys haters who, you know, were absolutely dead quiet all season long, Shannon Sharp, who were absolutely, you know, couldn't hear a peep from them about the Cowboys all year long. And then they wait to the very last second when the Cowboys lose to a fantastic team late in the season to take their victory lap and pat themselves on the back. Oh, look at me. I was right. I was right about the Cowboys. Same old dysfunctional Cowboys team. Oh, they're so terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Those people were thanking their lucky stars when Tony Pollard got injured. You heard it from me, folks. I know it. You know it. Deep down in their heart, when Tony Pollard goes down, they were, oh, thank God. Oh, we have an opportunity. Thank God. Thank God. And then they come on their shows and they say, the same old Cowboys. Ha, 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 ha. You're a lowlife. You're an absolute lowlife. Listen, you can do whatever you want.
So you have no respect for Colin anymore?
No. I just don't have any respect for people like Kyle Brandt, who, you know, his team is probably, you know, the most poverty franchise in all of professional football, losing four straight Super Bowls to the
Buffalo
Bills.
Oh, his team is the Bills?
And, you know, has the audacity to say, oh, well, the Cowboys haven't won Super Bowls in 30 years. There's 32 teams in a league. It's tough to win a Super Bowl in a 10-year span every single decade. It's tough.
The Bills haven't won a Super Bowl.
The Bills haven't won a Super Bowl, period. So shut your stupid mouth. So there's that aspect of it. But listen, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, breaking down the game, you can say I'm making excuses. You can say whatever you want. I think I heard it at least two, I think maybe even three or four times from the announcers talking about how much the 49ers echoed the importance of Tony Pollard and how important he was to the Cowboys offense. And you can see it from the game. They were moving the ball at well the first four drives. Even the first drive where they had the punt, they still had, I think, a couple of first downs and then ultimately got stopped. But, you know, going up until that point, it was getting all the way down inside the 49ers red zone. And then, you know, the very next play he goes out, Dak throws a pick because they have got no running game. They've got to try and make a some sort of pass to get a 2 yard gain on second and two or third and two. You know, it changes the game. And, you know, they said they talked to D'Amico Ryans, and the first two words out of his mouth was Tony Pollard. It makes a huge, extreme difference, especially to a team that, let's be honest, they had, you know, throughout the regular season, two real playmakers, two consistent playmakers that they could rely on throughout the entire season. When that gets cut in half, it's not the 49ers where they have, you know, five guys at their disposal that they can go to at will with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey. There's so many different players that they can go to when they need a first down or something like that. The Cowboys had two. It's Tony Pollard and, you know, CeeDee Lamb. And what they banked on were those two players were as good as anybody in the league in space and making plays and, you know, racking up yards. And when one of them goes down, it completely neutralized their offense and made them one-dimensional. And when you're going against one of the best defenses in the NFL like the 49ers, that kills you. Now, what killed the Cowboys? Because the injury didn't kill them. They had every chance to win that game, even without Tony Pollard. But the truth is, throughout this entire season, and especially magnified in this game, Dak Prescott was average. He's making, you know, extreme money, and he's making great money. He's making great quarterback money, and when you play average...
Is he at 35? Or is he at 40?
I think he's at 40. I'm pretty sure. Look that up, but I'm almost positive he's at 40. And... you know, when you're making great quarterback money and you're not even playing good, you're playing average, you won't be able to win. You're sacrificing too much. When we look at the NFL and the teams that made it all the way to the divisional round, it was quarterbacks on rookie deals.
This year, he only made $19.7 million.
How much is he going to make next year?
$50
million. Exactly. So the average salary is whatever. But, yeah, you know, going back, going to next year and going beyond that.
Yeah, his cap hit next year is... $49.13 million.
Going beyond that, you won't be able to win. You know, look at every team in the playoffs this year.
He's 21% of their cap.
It's unbelievable. Look at every single team to make the playoffs this year. You look at the AFC side, it's either generational quarterbacks or quarterbacks on rookie deal. And sometimes it's both. Joe Burrow's on a rookie deal. Josh Allen is making, you know, crazy money, but he's a for real difference maker. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. He's making ridiculous money, but he's playing at a ridiculous level. It's justified. Trevor Lawrence is making rookie money. You know, you look at the NFC side, it's Brock Purdy who's making not a lot of money, but he's playing, you know, average, and, you know, Jimmy G makes average money, so it evens out. Jalen Hurts is making rookie money.
Hear me out.
Daniel Jones is making rookie money.
What if they cut Dak? Stop it. It's $89 million against the cap, but it frees up $40 million.
So, folks, the problem is I'll just move past that. The problem is you either need to have a loaded roster and a capable quarterback, or an insane quarterback and an average roster. The Cowboys are stuck in this area where it's like their coaching staff, and I mean that by Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore, are literally putting, you know, an average an above average roster, but, you know, they're taking this team to, you know, a top six team in the NFL. It's not consistent. You need a quarterback, if they're making fantastic money, to be fantastic. That's the only way to win in this league. And he's done it in the past. I am by no means giving up on him. You know, I think as an NFL community, what we do is, you know, a quarterback plays, you know, average for a game or average for a season. We say, okay, this is what they are. You know, they didn't look good in this game, and this is what they are for their career. And the Cowboys will never be any good because Dak Prescott was average in 2022, 2023. It's like that is an extremely simplistic way of viewing, you know, any sort of quarterback's production. You know, even the best of the best, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, have had fantastic years and average years. But it's not, oh, okay, let's pull out their worst year of their career and say, okay, this is what they are, this is what they always will be. Folks, quarterbacks, for whatever reason, you know, Dak was hurt for six games and, you know, maybe got a little bit out of rhythm. Who knows what the situation is? Maybe there was, you know, some sort of weakness found on his tape. I don't know what the problem was, but you look back into his career, this year was an anomaly. And I'll get into it a little bit more in a bit, but I'm not giving up on Dak. Go ahead.
29% of their salary is tied up in Dak and Zeke.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it is, and, you know...
They will cut Zeke this year, though.
Yeah, Zeke was awful.
He's essentially $11 million against... it frees up. But $5.5-6 million in dead cap. So.
Zeke can't run the football. I mean, no. Anybody who watched the game saw it. And when he was out there for the Cowboys, that took away their entire dimension of their offense. They could not run the football. And against the 49ers, you just cannot be one-dimensional. And if you are, any quarterback's going to struggle. And Dak really struggled. That was what really, you know, cost the Cowboys the game. And when you look at those two picks, folks, it's 6 points. You add the extra point, this is a tie game without any real separation between these two teams. So it was disappointing, but, you know, I moved past it. Weghorst with a shot. Oh, just blocked. Little Man United game going on right now. But, you know, I moved past it. You know, a lot of people are, like, calling out the last play. It doesn't really matter to me. You know, it was clearly, like, Kellen Moore trying to be a little bit special.
They should have done what the Dolphins did against the Patriots. They should have done that.
Yeah, they should have just done that. Convince the other team to put George Kittle out there.
No, Gronk.
An old
Gronk that can't move.
Right.
My only real takeaway from that game, because, you know, I've done my Cowboys thing this entire season, and I don't really need to get into it again. I'm going to talk about Brock Purdy again, because he played pedestrian. He didn't have the numbers. You know, he played the same this week as he did last week. He just didn't have the numbers to back it up. Why? Because he was playing a much better defense than in the wild card round. The Seahawks are, you know, a bottom five, bottom 10 defense. The Cowboys are a top five defense, top 10 defense in most categories. And so you really see what Brock Purdy's limitations are, and there is stuff that he needs to learn as a young quarterback that every young quarterback struggles with. Pocket presence is one of them that we talked about last week. He, and they said this on the broadcast and during the halftime, they just kept making him roll left, because he just, every time he would escape left, he wasn't able to throw the ball because he would always try to set his feet. He's not great at throwing on the run. He doesn't have that kind of arm strength, so he would try to set his feet, and when you do that as a quarterback rolling left, you open yourself up to get beat to shit, and that's kind of what happened a little bit. He looked uncomfortable in the pocket. He wasn't able to get through his reads. He was happy feet in the pocket. So can you win with him? Yeah. We'll get into it more when we preview the NFC Championship game. It doesn't look pretty for that offense. If they have to rely on Brock Purdy to make plays, I seriously question their ability to win this game. I thought that they would be able to mask it a little bit, which is why I picked them to win the Super Bowl when we did this show a couple weeks ago with our playoff predictions. But seeing him against top 10 defenses, top 5 defenses, it really has opened my eyes to what kind of quarterback, you know, he is. I mean, guys, there's a reason he was picked in the 7th round. It's not because he's a bad quarterback. He probably should have been picked in the 5th round. I mean, he is by all measures a decent starting quarterback, but to act like he's going to be this next missing piece for the 49ers, it's ludicrous. He's not that kind of quarterback, and I do think that Kyle Shanahan has helped make him look a lot better. I will say his mobility has helped him a little bit. It did in the Seahawks game. I think it hurt them a little bit more in the Packers or in the Cowboys game. So we'll see what happens against a very athletic front with Philadelphia. But yeah, that was my one real takeaway from that game. Just, you know, he looked kind of like I thought he was going to look. Yeah. So, which is why I had it as such a low scoring game. Yeah. You want to get into your next takeaway?
Yeah. First off, from the 49ers perspective, wasn't really all that surprised. I predicted they would go for 20 points and went for 19. Yep. Defensively, I knew they were good, you know, but I thought Dak, I said 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, that changes the complexion of the game if he
inverted
can do that. And, you know, if they had any sort of running game ability, you know, the Cowboys, I think they score more points, but they didn't. Kicking was obviously a huge predicament, and that limited their point production because, you know, 4th downs, I had to go for it, getting into late into the red zone, which then ended up, you know, Dak Prescott throwing picks. So just a whole bunch of, you know, really bad stuff. But I wasn't really all that surprised from what I had seen from San Francisco. We watched a lot of San Francisco games. It was kind of the same stuff we had seen all season. Now, Dak Prescott. Everyone loves to... People can't stand the idea of quarterbacks just being up and down, right? They play good games.
Josh Allen.
They play bad games, so they always have to find...
Actually, they have no problem with it, with Josh Allen.
Yeah. Well, my point being, they have to find patterns, and I think as humans, we have to find patterns for why quarterbacks can't perform in some games and they can perform in others. So we make narratives. And, you know, the narrative for Dak Prescott I'm hearing now is, oh, well, he can't play in big games. Folks, I looked up his playoff stats. 15 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
He's played in that many playoff games?
He's played in 6 playoff games. 6 Damn. Playoff starts, and his numbers, you know, folks, they're pretty much just as good as Joe Burrow's, who's also played in 5 games. And Joe Burrow's are 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, just more volume for Dak Prescott. They're asking him to do more
than Joe Burrow is. It's almost like the team around you matters.
Exactly. So we can sit here and pretend like, oh, well, Dak Prescott can't play in big games, he can't win big games. First off, it's hard to win playoff games. If that's the expectation, then a lot of quarterbacks, i.e. Josh Allen, who has been to AFC Championship games, but that's pretty much it. That's really the only difference. You know, Justin Herbert, whom we all love, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Well,
like so many
one of us loves
quarterbacks, you know, that don't have the playoff. Lamar Jackson, who I was, you know, force fed a top 10 quarterback in the offseason. You know, it was just this huge disgrace.
He played like it for the first 4 weeks.
And then what happened? A huge disgrace. If, you know, if you didn't call him a top 10 quarterback, all these other quarterbacks don't have playoff wins.
I don't know. I think that he probably is a top 10 quarterback if we did it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But all of that stuff, and it's like the goalposts, they move, and if the issue is, oh, he's not playing well, then that's one thing, but that's not true. You know, for the most part, he has played well. 15 touchdowns to 5 interceptions is very respectable in the playoffs. Total touchdowns, it's including rushing, so that's only, you know, I guess
how many passing is it?
11 and then 4 okay. rushing. He was much more of a running quarterback when he was first introduced in the league, but
and then he
broke his ankle. And one of the
compound fracture type
disgusting kind of changed. But off the post, Christian Erickson. But yeah, so I think that narrative is total wishy-washy. I think Dak had a bad year. You go back on his season.
It
seasons,
was a bad year.
Especially, you know,
last year.
Especially early on. I mean, the numbers are fantastic. And, you know, he's done this pretty much his entire career. I think he should have been a Pro Bowler last year, and that would have put him at like 3
oh, really?
Pro Bowls.
Yeah. It's crazy when a quarterback gets snubbed for Pro Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah, it hurts. But you know, so I think it's ridiculous. He'll be fine. He had a bad season. Just regroup. It was, for the most part, an anomaly. It was his worst year in, I think, 5 or 6 years since 2017 or 2018. Mm-hmm. 'Cause 2020 gets injured. 2019, he played relatively well. Last year, he obviously played fantastic. His rookie year, he played fantastic. So he's really had 2 bad years in his 7-year career. But I'm told, oh, look at it in a vacuum. He's, you know, no better than Kirk Cousins. He actually is better than Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins' numbers, as we've said, are that of a top 10 quarterback easily. I mean, say what you will about Kirk Cousins, but statistically speaking, because that's what the argument was from Shannon Sharp. Well, look at his last 7 years. Look at the numbers. I am looking at the numbers. They're fantastic. What do you want from me? You're wrong. It's ridiculous. So he'll be fine. It was a bad year. As long as it's a hiccup, the Cowboys will be fine moving forward. The only issue is, you know, cap. Can they keep these guys re-signed? And more than anything, Kellen Moore is interviewing for the Panthers head coaching job. If, you know, Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore get head coaching jobs, this is where this team goes to shit.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
I don't know, man. Depending on what happens with Sean Payton, Dan Quinn could be the Broncos.
I think Sean Payton's going to Denver. That's
you think so?
Who I'm told is, or well, at least who Colin Cowherd said is their number one target. And so that would be my guess of who the Broncos are going with. But, you know, we'll see what happens. There's just so many head coaching candidates.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of names this year.
And so I would be surprised.
And nobody's made a hire yet.
Right. If either one of them get jobs, but we'll see.
Okay, I'm going to transition over to Bengals Bills. I have some commentary on both quarterbacks. Guys, Josh Allen is not in the same tier as Patrick Mahomes, and I don't know if he ever should have been. I think we let, you know, the divisional round, his best football he's ever played, get into our heads a little bit. If you look at Josh Allen's career, the Josh Allen we've seen as of late is Josh Allen. He's not better than that. He might have stretches where he looks like he can be the best quarterback in the NFL, but when you take a whole 17-game season plus the playoffs, Josh Allen is, you know, the fourth or fifth best quarterback.
Right.
He can throw the ball really far down the field, which is cool, I guess. But he still has accuracy issues. He still has issues just taking what the defense gives him. He did it again in Cincinnati. He just kept trying to push the ball down the field when it wasn't there. And
missing throws, quite frankly.
And missing, I mean, that was probably his worst game in the last
from an accuracy
two, 3 years.
Standpoint,
I mean, he missed every single throw
that
he threw it, essentially. I mean, it was terrible. And so, you know, I saw after the game, there was a lot of people that were you know, saying that, you know, Josh Allen's not number two. There were some people saying that Josh Allen was still in the same tier as Patrick Mahomes. And to me, it really comes down to, can you rely on Josh Allen to make a play when you need him to? And so far, the answer is no. In one game, you were able to, and that was the divisional round last year against Kansas City. And he made every play that he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do it this year. He didn't do it in 22 or in 21, I guess, 2020, 2021 season.
Yeah.
And so, can you count on him to make the play? I don't know. We'll have to see, but for a guy who's going to get paid as much as he is, he's really erratic with his decision making. And, you know, I really like the job Mike Kafka did this year. I thought, you know, going from Dable to Kafka was a pretty seamless transition. I don't think it hurt him too much, but guys, he still led the league in turnovers. I mean, yep. If you can live with that, you essentially have another Brett Favre. Like, that is who he is. He's going to turn the ball over a lot. He's going to put the ball in harm's way a lot. But you'll take that because he can make some of those eye-opening, awe-inspiring plays where it's like maybe one other quarterback in the league can make that throw. It was the one to, you know, the Stephon Diggs kind of pressure in his face, far hash, like 60 yards down the field. It's like, okay, that's why you like Josh Allen. But then also in that same game, it was like he had like three other deep throws that he just overthrew. And it's like, well, at what point is that just Joe Milton?
Yep.
You know, I'm not comparing him to Joe Milton. I just wanted to throw a jab at Joe Milton in there. Okay. I just want to make that clear. So that's my commentary on Josh Allen. He's a great quarterback when he wants to be, but, you know, it's too few and far between for me to put him in that top tier. I want to go to the Bengals now because, you know, I'm starting to have this anti-Bengals. I have this Bengals hate in my heart, and I really don't love it. I want to, because they're a good story. You know, they're exactly where kind of how the Lions were, where, you know, they're a podunk organization, kind of small. You know, owners didn't really, you know, care too much about the team, didn't put a ton of resources into it, and all of a sudden they get their guy, and now they're all in. What has Joe Burrow done in the playoffs to warrant any of this talk that he is, you know, the best quarterback in the NFL? I see people like, oh my God, Joe Burrow, look what he's done. Look at his playoff record. And I go back and look at the playoff games. Well, what game sticks out to you where it's like, Joe Burrow won him that game. Joe Burrow was the best player on the field that day. You want to know who it sounds like to me? It sounds like Tom Brady early in his career. You know, the defense would give up 20 points. Defense would 14 points even. And he would throw for 230 yards and a touchdown. And then he would lead a drive to kick a game-winning field goal. It's like, sure, you don't want the defense to, or you don't want to have to score 35 points in order to win a football game. But at the same time, you know,
you'd like to see it once.
It would be nice if a Joe Burrow-led Bengals team scored more than 28 points in a playoff game.
Right.
Right? I mean, it hasn't.
I think they could have. I think they could have.
Well, definitely against the Bills. Definitely against the Bills. Yeah. But like, which is crazy to say because the Bills were probably the best team that they have played in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. When you talk about that Ravens team, they only put up 17 offensive points. Yes, that's a better defense than the Bills. They gave up 17 to, you know, Tyler Huntley.
Right.
Or you go back to last year when they were playing the Raiders. They only scored 23. Or when they were playing the Titans, they only scored 19. They're playing the Rams, they scored 20. It's like, where is this elite offensive playmaker going to come in? Because I see it in the regular season. I see it all the time. The offense is phenomenal. But for whatever reason, when it comes crunch time in the playoffs, he isn't there. And it's kind of weird to say because, you know, he's got the clutch gene in the regular season. He really hasn't had to have it.
That's right.
In the postseason so far.
He's had an opportunity to show it in the postseason. The only example would be the Rams game, and even in that game, it was literally pressure in his face. Like that last drive on that that last series, it was brutal. Literally, he got pressured or sacked on every single play, and it was like the plays he didn't, it was because they got it out on a quick slant
and,
RPO sort
and
of
maybe
play.
And maybe they play more complimentary football in the postseason. I think that's maybe it's more so like Zach Taylor's not going to, you know, throw the kitchen sink every single game because Lou has done such a good job with the defense and getting them ready for those games. Maybe it has something to do with that. But now I'm seeing people say that if the Bengals win this game, Joe Burrow is better than Patrick Mahomes.
No.
And I don't know how you come to that conclusion, having watched both of them play football and looking at their stats and comparing the two. I don't know how it's even close. I don't. And this is going to be kind of like the LeBron thing. It's like, and it is crazy because Patrick Mahomes is only in year five.
Right.
It's going to be, well, who's the next guy that's going to pass him?
Right.
Guys, newsflash, for Patrick Mahomes' entire career, I don't know if there's going to be anybody better than him.
Yep.
Seriously. Like, he is that good. Like, I don't know why we keep trying to find who can compete with Patrick Mahomes. Can we just, like, accept it that he is the greatest and maybe wait for him to fall off rather than try and, you know, place guys next to him that don't deserve to be there?
Yep.
Because Patrick Mahomes led the league in passing yards. He led the league in touchdowns. He's going to be the MVP this year. And I saw Mitchell Schwartz quote tweet because it was an ESPN Twitter or tweet from a show. I can't remember who said it. But that was essentially the quote is that I think it might have been Schrager. It might not have been ESPN. It might have been NFL Network. I think Schrager said, well, why wouldn't he be? He's 4-0 against him or 5-0 against him, right? And it's like, one, football's a team sport. But Mitchell Schwartz quote tweeted and goes, what, you mean two MVPs, a Super Bowl, Super Bowl MVP, a five-time first-team All-Pro, it's like, or four-team, whatever he is. It's like all that stuff that Joe Burrow doesn't have. Guys, I love Joe Burrow, and he definitely is the second-best quarterback in the league right now. There is no disputing that because, you know, there's really nobody else you can put there. I mean, we were going through our top five, and it's like, well, you have your top two, and then it really feels like you can put together a different order for the next, you know, seven quarterbacks. There's just nobody that's really separated themselves, and with Josh Allen having played so poorly, it's like, well, he doesn't deserve to be in that tier either. And so maybe it's Jalen Hurts. Maybe Jalen Hurts is the third best quarterback in the NFL right now, which imagine saying that at the beginning of the year.
Couldn't.
But yeah, I just, you know, I'd like to see it more from Joe, but at the same time, it's not his fault that he hasn't had to show it. Maybe just a 300-yard game. Like, you know, maybe it's just that.
All right, I'll start with the Bills. So Bills, from their perspective, listen, there's a bit of this Bills team and Josh Allen specifically 0-3 against the serious teams within the AFC in the last 3 years, actually. As far as teams led by Mahomes or Joe Burrow, it's 0-3. Every other AFC team had a serious flaw or has a serious flaw. So, and that's why I think, like, this year, seriously, there were six teams that were like, okay, that team is serious. Other than that, you look at the Jags and the Giants. It was just like a year too early. Next year, those teams will be for real. But this year,
well, it depends on if the Giants can get a quarterback.
Probably. So for the Bills, you know, serious team. But like, hey, man, as soon as it gets to the playoffs, every bit of, you know, their team that kind of, you know, shine in the regular season just disappears. I have no idea what happened to Josh Allen. But like you said, like, we had seen turnovers all throughout the season, but I don't know when I had seen, you know, deep inaccuracy to Stephon Diggs. And to the point where Stephon Diggs is literally yelling at him on the sideline. And I don't think that's a matter of, hey, I'm open, you're not throwing it to me. I think that's a matter of, just, you're missing
me. Give me the ball. Like, how do you overthrow me?
Stephon Diggs had something like 9 targets in this game.
And he had,
like,
what, 2 or 3 catches? Was that,
I think,
it was?
4 catches, maybe. But the fact of the matter is, he's getting the ball. The problem is, he's not hitting him. And when that happens, like, that's something we really haven't seen from Josh Allen. So that really surprised me. And, you know, a lot of people are going after Sean McDermott. I'm not really there yet. I think maybe if next year they have some sort of issues, you know, you put him on the hot seat. But with Buffalo, it's like they've been so bad for so long.
Also, the tough part with him is he's a defensive coach, and so you can't blame Josh Allen on him. Like, that's not his fault.
If there's a complaint, the defense hasn't been great the last 2 years
in the
playoffs.
Here's the thing, though. Who was the most injured team left in the playoffs?
Probably the Bills.
The Bills, without question. They lost. They were down. At a certain point in the game, they were down to like their fifth starting safety, or their fifth safety this season.
And
they were down Von Miller. They did not have a pass rush. That, I feel like that's more on Brandon Bean than it is on Sean McDermott, not being able to, not the safety thing, definitely not the safety. There's no way you're going to be able to prepare for that.
But not drafting the right guy rushers, edge rusher.
The pass rushers. It's like you have Von Miller, you take a guy like Greg Russo, you take a guy like Ed Oliver, and they just haven't developed. You know, there's such
Oliver to some extent, but Greg Russo.
There is such a relationship with the coaching staff and players to help a player get better. And so a little bit of it is on Sean McDermott and his, because I don't know who his defensive line coach is. I don't think Sean McDermott's a defensive line guy. But there's also something to be said. Like Greg Russo, there was some serious question marks about him coming out. He's very stiff. Like there was no question about that. He doesn't bend very well. So how do you get a guy like that to get around the edge? You know, and you saw it in this game. Joe Burrow had all day in the pocket with a sticks and stones taped together offensive line.
Yep. Three of five starters are gone, and he had all day to throw. I also heard a bit of this is it's hard for the edge rushers to move in the snow.
In the snow, yeah. And I did see that. But it wouldn't have mattered for Greg Russo because he can't bend anyway.
Right.
So, like, for a guy like if Von Miller were to play, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense. But, like, Trey Hendrickson had no problem bending around the edge.
So, you know, I think the Bills, and I also think there's an element to this where it's like, you know, these teams who, oh, well, Buffalo playing in the snow, Green Bay playing in Lambeau, it's such a huge advantage. I think a bit of this is like, it probably hurts them to some extent with that dynamic passing attack. It doesn't really help you.
You know what the issue is they're playing on turf. If they were playing on grass, you'd be able to stick in a little bit better.
And you know what's even more surprising? This defense, you know, for a bank, like we talked about, O-line that's not very good, you know, running game that hadn't been existing in the last second part of the season got absolutely physically dominated. I mean, how can you let something like that happen? And you mentioned it, or I think I said it earlier, 27 points, it felt like they could have gone for 35. Yeah. So this was not a close game. And
no, there were some red zone woes there for the Bengals.
Yeah. And from Joe Burrow's perspective, first off, a good win. And, you know, if they win this next game against the Bengals, I think
against
the Chiefs. I don't think it's a matter of Joe Burrow, but this Bengals team is the new, you know, king of the AFC.
It'd be tough to say otherwise, right? I mean, having, you know, being undefeated against the Chiefs.
So especially because it's like we've seen these two, you know, like the Bengals are now in this AFC because like they would have both gone to two Super Bowls, but at this point the Chiefs don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. So I think it's almost like you're turning the book off of, you know, those Mahomes rookie years where they've got all this cap space and they can have a loaded team with a fantastic quarterback. That era is kind of over, you know, and that's why the Bengals are favored. We'll get that into that more in the prediction show. But from Burrow's perspective, I think he is a lot like Brady in the sense that part of, you know, his
is just doesn't turn the ball over, right?
Doesn't give the ball over. And then part of his gifted is, all right, before the play, we're going to make adjustments pre-snap, and I'm going to call the best play possible for us to win the game. And, you know, Brady did that for a lot of years in New England and then didn't put up the best numbers, but, you know, did exactly what his team needed him to do to win the game. And I will say this, the Jamar Chase play in the end zone, that's a fantastic throw, you know, but Chase obviously can't come up with a catch going out of bounds. And that was the right call.
I need to say something else about that. Guys, that's not a catch. There's literally a rule in the rule book that says you have to survive the ground.
Right.
It's called the Calvin Johnson rule. I can show you the clip. Calvin, you know, what I say, got 2 feet in his whole ass and a hand down. If that's not enough, and I'm sorry, 4 feet isn't enough either. You got to survive the ground. Jamar Chase didn't, therefore incomplete pass because he was out of bounds when he reestablished. Right. So like,
some real crazy takes with that one. I heard somebody say the ball doesn't touch the ground, it should be a catch. Like, okay. So out of bounds is literally not a rule in football anymore. But
I saw a lot of NFL right there.
But you know, that's how it is. So I think it's just more concern with the Bills. And I'll say this, I'm getting tired of players sitting after games to watch, you know, like, oh, we're going to watch a celebration, you know, because we're going to be back here next year. And then they get back next year, and then it's just a humiliation. JJ McCarthy. I didn't like that. And then they posted on their Instagram.
And he did it again.
Oh, come on, JJ, man. It's like, be serious. All right, if you're going to do that, then be serious when you get back here. No throwing pick sixes, JJ. And, you know, Stephon Diggs. Come on, man. I guess it wasn't really
his fault.
Come on.
Maybe Josh Allen should have done that.
Don't do that unless you're, like, serious. You know what I mean?
You know what's tough for the Bills is that, you know, everybody thought that the difference this year was that they were going to be the home team in the divisional round. They didn't have to go to KC. They're just not a very good team.
Yeah, like, didn't matter.
You know, they can beat up on the, you know, lower-tier teams in the AFC, but like you said, when they got to play the big dogs,
they're not serious.
What happens? They kind of fall off. Okay, let's move over to Kansas City, Jacksonville. Yeah, Jacksonville very well could have won that game and probably should have won that game. A lot of just stupid mistakes that you don't see a Doug Peterson team make. And that was the thing after the Chargers game that I really harped on with Doug Peterson, is that the team felt more mature. It felt like they would be able to handle this. And it seemed like the moment was a little too big. I don't know. It was just the little things. You know, the turnovers, Jamal Agnew fumble, the, you know, obviously the unlucky punt hitting, I think it was Rayshon Jenkins in the head. I don't remember exactly who it was, but like that gives the Chiefs great field position. The game was there for the taking. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. I don't know if the game changes all that much if he's healthy. I mean, like, it was 7-7 when he got hurt. And it's not like it was, you know, blown out of proportion. Now, the real reason why the Jags lost, at least defensively, is that they refused to cover Travis Kelce on his little his little button hooks, curls. I think he caught 9 of them or something like that. It was he broke a record with it. You have to be able to stop that. I mean, it's the route he goes to the most. Offensively, you know, Trevor played a fine game. Travis played all right. It was just, you know, the turnovers and shooting yourself in the foot with penalties, stuff like that, making, you know, you get a first down. Oh, wait, it's called back, and all of a sudden you're second and long. So it's just little stuff like that. You don't really see a Doug Peterson team make. With that being said, the Jags are going to be scary next year. I would, if I'm the Bills, I'm looking behind me and seeing, because you got the Bengals and the Chiefs in front of you, and it's like, how are we going to get to them? I'm more worried about the team behind me now. Because the Jags, I feel like next year, they have a lot of cap space still. You know, they don't have as high of a draft pick, but they have all the makings of a team that is going to be a legit threat to the AFC title next year.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I wasn't really surprised with the outcome of the game. No. I mean, going into it, I thought, you know, the younger players, you know, it's just a lot to ask in Arrowhead. And, you know, we saw, and there was a lot of unluckiness, like you said. You know, who was it? I think Christian Kirk gets injured.
Yep.
And then that's the only reason why Jamal Agnew's out there. Otherwise, there is no fumble to be heard of. And, you know, this is probably a very tight game in the end, rather than, you know, the Jags just looking for an onside kick opportunity. Yep. So, just a lot of unlucky stuff that you see from, you know, a younger team in this stage of game, and stuff that the Chiefs, you know, really, you know, have prided themselves on beating teams off of in that first round game. It feels like, you know, whoever that, you know, unlucky team is that has to go there in the divisional round is typically the lower seed in the playoffs. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they just get beat like a drum. But the Jags hung in there. And, you know, a bit of that is just, you know, mental toughness from Trevor Lawrence, who was facing pressures every single time, whether it be, and, you know, there was a lot of it was just BS. Oh, we're going to look like we're bringing 8 and then we're actually bringing 4, you know, simulated pressures. And then the O-linemen can't communicate. Guys get free.
The one pick at the end of the game where he's trying to loft it to Zay Jones on the wheel route.
He had maybe
a second and a half to throw that ball.
I said Zay Jones, if he goes up for that, you know, it's either he catches it or incomplete. That one hurt. I think
they rushed 4 on that play.
I know. I don't blame T-Law. I think it's a fantastic play. What was the corner? I don't even know. But it was
Lenore's the 49ers corner.
Fantastic catch.
It Legarius?
Potentially. So, you know, good for the Chiefs. Mahomes' injury, I think it will affect them AFC Championship.
They cannot run outside zone. I mean, you saw it. He was literally, and all credit to Patrick Mahomes for doing
grinning
this.
It out,
he was literally hopping on one leg to run an outside zone so that they could still run their offense.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
You know, a lot of people talked about how great he looked on one leg. I didn't think he looked great with one leg. Like, he was short on throws.
Nick Wright.
Yeah, Nick Wright was like, he's the third best quarterback on one leg. He's like, who would you rather have than Patrick Mahomes with one leg? Chad Henne. I would literally have rather had Chad Henne out there.
Yeah.
And by the way, leads him on a 98-yard drive, and it was pretty much flawless the whole way, and, you know, had just zero.
That's what you want in a backup quarterback.
Right. And, folks, just saying, system quarterback Patrick Mahomes, just saying, no.
Chad Henne's the quarterback of the future for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. Folks, with one leg, he was missing a bunch of throws, and their offense went from scoring easily on a 98-yard touchdown drive to scoring, like, what, when he came back in? I think, like, 10 points the rest of the game, maybe. you know, wasn't too impressed with the whole Patrick Mahomes on one leg. I was told he was the best quarter or third best quarterback in the NFL. Give me an by Nick effing
Wright. Break. Only by Nick Wright, though.
Yeah, only by Nick Wright, but holy cow.
I will say that, you know, completely unrelated to the game. I guess not completely unrelated to the game, but, you know, this is why a guy like Chad Henne, who, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Chad Henne, what a bum. Like, there's a reason why he sticks around the league, and it's because he can do stuff like that. Your quarterback gets hurt, he goes in there, and you call a place, he knows exactly where the ball is supposed to be, when it's supposed to be there. That's why guys like him stick around. That's why a guy like Brock Purdy, who might not be a starter in this league, even though I think he will be, there's a reason he's going to be in this league for a long time, and it's because he's got those smarts. He knows where to put the ball. He can run an offense well. So that's, you know, there's not your quarterbacks, every single one of them is not always going to be the most talented arm-wise. You need a guy, preferably with your backup, a guy that can learn a system quickly and can just run it well. And so that's why you see a lot of backup quarterbacks who, oh, like Nathan Peterman, why is he still in the league? It's because, you know, he can pick up an offense pretty quickly.
Right.
And he might not be the best at running it, as we've seen, but like there's a reason. There's a reason he keeps getting jobs. Maybe it's because he's got a bunch of dirt on other people.
Maybe he scored well in the Wonderlic.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? So yeah, that was. I just wanted to give, you know, Chad Henne some props. He's a career journeyman backup guy. You know, but he's a good quarterback, and people aren't gonna, you know. People are going to be like, oh, Andy Reid, look at that. And yes, it was a fantastic drive called and designed by Andy Reid. But, you know, you still got to have a quarterback that can make the throws, can get you in the right spot. So want to give credit to Chad Henne there.
He's like that.
Last game, Eagles-Giants. Guys, Daniel Jones isn't it. When I made my score prediction and said it was going to be 33-17, I undersold it even. Like, the final score was 38-7. I was like, guys, Daniel Jones, his best three games came against against the Vikings and one against the Lions. Other than that, his next best game was 228 yards. He is not a franchise quarterback, but I do think he can be a backup quarterback. He's one of those guys. If the Giants want to actually compete next year because they have the Eagles, because they have the Cowboys in their same division, they actually want to compete next year. They got to do their darndest to get a quarterback. And this is going to sound crazy because it is a little bit crazy. I think they should do everything in their power to get Anthony Richardson. I really do. I think if you give Anthony Richardson and to Brian Daboll, I think that there is a guy who can be a perennial top three quarterback in the NFL. He's got the talent. It's just about refining the skill, and he's 100 million times better than Daniel Jones at his peak. And I was talking to one of my friends about it, and he goes, there's a 25% chance that Anthony Richardson ever has a season better than Daniel Jones this year. I was like, do you know how good Daniel Jones actually was this year? He threw for 3,200 yards and just didn't throw picks.
Right.
Anthony Richardson, and he ran for like 768. Yep. Anthony Richardson's going to run for 1,000 yards.
Yes.
Like, what do you want from me? I said, there is a 100% chance that Anthony Richardson with Brian Daboll is better than Daniel Jones. 100% chance. If the Giants want to get better at quarterback, take Anthony Richardson. I legitimately believe that because Daniel Jones is not the guy.
But you can't start him year one.
Right? No. It's going to be very tough to start him year one.
And if you're looking for a quarterback next year.
I do think that it's possible. You want to know why? Because Daniel Jones started this year.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones is a little bit sharper than AR-15 right now, right?
I don't know if he is.
I think he is.
I will say, Anthony Richardson, towards the end of the season, did a pretty solid job, you know, seeing the field in terms of what coverage the defense was in, you know, the fronts. He got faked out a lot, though. If you disguise a coverage, he did get tricked a little
Anthony
bit.
Anthony Richardson's throwing numbers this year at Florida look a lot like probably worse than Daniel Jones' throwing numbers.
Do you want to know why? Can you tell me one receiver he was throwing to?
Can you tell me who's the best receiver that Daniel Jones was throwing to with the Giants, right?
I would take Sterling Shepard or something. I would take
them over the Florida receivers, but the competition he's going out, he played bad against Missouri, right? Like, come on.
Yeah, but this is because he literally has nobody to throw to, and his offensive line's not good. What do you want from him?
I don't know, man. I'm just saying. The same thing with Daniel Jones.
The fact that they beat Utah, I still can't get over that. The fact that they beat Utah with that team is unbelievable. They are terrible.
Hey, man. I didn't say the rushing numbers were the same. You know what I'm saying? Because he ran for, what was it, like damn near 1,000 yards, I think.
I'm just saying that Anthony Richardson's better than Daniel Jones.
He will be. I think so. I just don't know about year one.
I think year one, it would be tough, but I think there's a chance.
And if they're looking for next year, maybe they run it back with Daniel Jones.
I think you could run it back with Daniel Jones.
Maybe you call up Derek Carr or something like that.
Because I think next year is the last year on his contract.
Yeah. But no, I totally agree. I mean, as far as whether
the Eagles
or not,
Eagles are a juggernaut, by the way.
Oh, so. Yeah. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. I just wanted to add that in because I didn't talk about them. I only talked about the Giants, so yeah. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Even going back to my playoff predictions, the first or second game I whiffed on, I totally whiffed on this game. I thought that, you know, this would be a closer, lower scoring game where the Eagles kind of get off to a slow start with some rust. Didn't exist at all. The Chiefs didn't either. I mean, that bye week thing, it's like, no. Especially, I think it's this. If you're well coached,
yeah, I think how you come out of a bye is the biggest indication of how good a coach is.
Mm. I agree. You always see those Andy Reid teams, I mean, come out of byes like their hair's on fire. And they did. They came out of the game with their hair on fire, especially offensively. Like, they went down, they scored a touchdown immediately. And we're moving the ball on the second drive. Mahomes gets injured. And
and then Henny comes in, finishes the drive. And it was, oh no, he finished the drive on one leg. And it was like,
yeah,
something's not right there.
It looked bad. But no. So those teams, and the Eagles were no exception. They came out and I think took immediately a 21-0 lead. So totally whiffed. Sirianni's a great coach. I was also wrong about that. I don't like him still, but
no, no, he's still kind of an asshole.
He's a great coach. And you know what they're doing
with Philly though.
Yep, he is Philly. And what they're doing with Jalen Hurts in that offensive attack, it's just extremely hard to stop. Hard to stop. I saw it the first game of the Sunday Night Football game against the Cowboys, and as soon as I saw that, I was like, I don't know what you do. What in the world do you do? Just so many things that they can do with a quarterback who's not only dynamic with his running game, but has now blossomed into a quarterback who's one of the better passers in the league. So,
really good at the football.
It is virtually impossible. And from the Giants' perspective, yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been more apparent that I think this is a Mitchell Trubisky in 2018, Baker Mayfield in 2020 type of season that he's having. It's very efficient with the ball, you know, not asked to make a lot of very difficult throws, but, you know, is making the conservative safe throw that they're asking him to make in a system that's kind of, you know, hard for teams to catch up to right now. And that's fine. Going forward, do I think, you know, in 2 years' time or even next year, will he be even a top, you know, 18, top 20 quarterback? I would be surprised. So we'll see what happens. You know, I could be wrong, but I just think right now it's a bit early, you know, for the Daniel Jones hype.
I would agree.
I think going in forward next year, like
they still got to figure out what they're going to do with Saquon.
Yep, that's true too. I think that offense just got totally humbled. And when you face a team that's just way more talented than you, it's like, you know, an SEC team that, you know, catches fire early and then like Kentucky and who was, you know, nationally ranked, I think. And then they actually play some great teams. It's like, whoa. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of what they ran into. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure they'll be probably a 9-8 team next year.
I think it's going to be noise. It'd be interesting to see what they do in the offseason. But, you know, I do think that the Eagles have shown a blueprint of how you build a Super Bowl contender pretty easily. And, you know, yeah, you got to hit on the quarterback, but it was the same way with the Chiefs. There's a reason that they went to, you know, the Super Bowl, was it 2 years? And the Bucs, yeah, it was 19-20. They went to the Super Bowl back to 2 years because Patrick Mahomes wasn't making a lot of money. They could afford to bring guys in, and they didn't necessarily hit on a guy like Frank Clark, but, you know, he's better than your average Joe. And so what did the Eagles do? They drafted Jalen Hurts. And I don't think they drafted him with the intention of having him be this good, but that just goes to show you how much his work ethic or how great his work ethic is. And then what did they do? They used their money that they had that wasn't tied up in a quarterback to go and get free agents. You look at James Bradbury. You look at trading to get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And with Hassan Reddick, who's had a really good year.
Darius Slay.
Being able to keep around Darius Slay. It's like, well, also the Cardinals, because I really like Hassan Reddick coming out, Cardinals absolutely just botched him. So bad. So bad. Because he's shown in Philly, and yeah, there's a lot of guys along the front that can free up some blockers, but he's shown that he is a very capable edge rusher. Brandon Graham's even playing well in his old age. So just a great overall team. They've just, you know, best offensive line of football. Like I said, I don't know where the flaw is. I really don't. So let's just, let's get into it. Let's talk about the NFC Championship game because we're already talking about the Eagles. Niners, Eagles, 3 o'clock Sunday. I believe the Eagles are favored by 2.5.
Yep.
So what do you think? This is going to be in Lincoln Financial. The Philly faithful are going to be out and crazy. Are the 49ers going to be able to pull off the upset?
No. I'm taking the Eagles. I've said since the beginning of the playoffs, I think this Eagles team, not just the talent they have, but the scheme, the coaching, it's all there. You said it best. They don't have a flaw. Offensively, I think this might be flat out with, especially with Mahomes injured now.
The best offense.
Best offense in football.
Yeah. I think even if they have Mahomes, I still think that as a collective, I think the Eagles is better.
It's just so talented and so free flowing. It feels like they can pick up 10, 15, 20 yards whenever they want. And I'll say this, if Jalen Hurts wins this game, gets this team to the Super Bowl, I'm more than ready to elevate him into the next level of quarterback.
With Mahomes and Burrow?
With Mahomes and Burrow. I would call him a top three quarterback in the NFL.
I would too.
And folks, obviously he's playing in a system that is perfect for him and what he does. But at the same time, when I think about, we'll put in another quarterback. Who? Who? What other quarterback do you put in? The only thing I could think of is Lamar Jackson,
he's not the passer
that Jalen Hurts is. And so I think some of the cool fun stuff that they can do through the air, gets limited with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. Even though the running ability is all there, I think in some respects they would be a little bit more limited. So it's close, I guess, but. No, I think next level for Jalen Hurts if they win this game.
I agree with
Eagles
you.
Eagles to win this game and cover. I think they win this game by 10. I think as we saw with the 49ers, it's a great defense, but you can move the ball against them. And the Cowboys did that within the first four drives. But Dak had some silly mistakes. And, the 49ers defense was more talented than the Cowboys. And in that sort of, frame of mind, you can kind of get them on their heels, especially when you start doing different things defensively. And they got them on their heels, and the Cowboys kind of had to adjust a little bit in the second half, and they could only kind of settle for field goals. This Eagles team is good enough to the point where it's like they're going to have to adjust to us. Mm-hmm. And I think how this offense adjusts against this defense, I think the Eagles offense might be better than the 49ers defense. It's close, but we'll see. So, and then from the other side of things, this 49ers offense, you talked about it with Brock Purdy. Holy cow. When he faces a really good defense like the Cowboys and they're doing things and now they found a weakness, let's get him rolling to his left. Like you see this as the tape begins to collect. Like, I think we think about rookie quarterbacks, it's like, they'll only get better as they go on. They'll get more reps. They'll get more time with their teammates. They'll only get better. Well, there's another aspect to this where it's like defensive coordinators and defensive minds are figuring out what this guy is good at and what this guy's bad at. And when they can take away what he's good at and leverage his weaknesses, he gets into some trouble. Yeah. And he got into some trouble against the Cowboys.
A lot of trouble.
And, had a pretty mid game, good enough to win because that's all they're asking him to do is just be, so-so. But in the end, he still only threw for, I think, 215 yards. So just not a lot. Christian McCaffrey will have to have a huge game. And that was another thing that they were able to do well, the 49ers. Yep. They got out into, all right, so, hey, we're going to line up, just three wide, but we'll have Kittle, as a tight end. And then, lined up amongst the linemen and then McCaffrey in the backfield. Okay, now we're just going to spread all the way out five wide and we'll force you to cover, a linebacker out in space on Christian McCaffrey one-on-one. We're going to isolate that. Good luck. And Brock Purdy was able to make him pay. It was just those simple, quick slants every single time, and it's very hard to cover. But with the Eagles, I think they're good enough to kind of take that away. That will be one thing that I will be watching because I don't really know how you can adjust to that. It's like I don't know how the Eagles can be stopped. It's hard for the Cowboys.
They got Kazir White from the Chargers in the offseason.
That'll help.
I haven't been following a ton on how he's played this season.
He's athletic enough.
But he's athletic enough to cover running backs. We'll see. I mean, we're talking about a different beast with Christian McCaffrey, though. Yep. So, I mean,
basically a wide receiver.
I was going to say, I've been saying that Christian McCaffrey should make the transition to slot because he'll take less hits.
Right.
So,
you know, it's interesting, but I like the Eagles. I think their defense alone, like, forget about how good their offense is. Defense has been so consistent against a team like the Giants who was rolling. You know, we can say whatever we want about how they were, you know, overrated, and I overreacted for sure about their Vikings game. But, you know, hey, say what you will, they were kind of rolling. They'd put up 31 points the previous week, and they come in and get absolutely crushed by that Eagles defense. Could not move the ball the entire game. And I think that pretty much continues in this game, and the Eagles win this game relatively easily. It's just a huge stage for Brock Purdy, playing in his first road playoff game in the NFC Championship. That didn't ask him to do too much in the Cowboys game. They didn't need him to because Correct. Cowboys offense only put up 12 points. They're going to need him to go nuts in this game, and he won't be able to. Eagles win this game, I think, 27-17.
Yeah, okay. I like that. Yeah, guys, I was wrong. I said the 49ers were the best team in football. Yeah, they're not. It is clearly the Eagles, and the Eagles are going to win this game. It sucks because I wanted my playoff prediction to be right. You know, because both of my Niners over Bills.
Oh, okay.
My preseason was Chargers over Vikings. Both teams made the playoffs.
Not bad.
And neither one of them made it out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, hell, one of my playoff Super Bowl teams didn't make it past like 5-12. So,
yeah, there was a lot. I was wrong about a lot in the NFL this year. There is no way around that. Hopefully, I'm right about this game because it would be really cool to see a guy like Jalen Hurts make the Super Bowl. A guy who just keeps his head down, works, doesn't talk. Just, you know, like I said, keeps quiet. He
shuts up and dribbles.
Well, no,
no,
no, no. That's not. I like a guy who doesn't go to the media and talk shit.
No, I agree. No, Hurts is such a likable guy. He really is. He plays for the Eagles, and I want to hate the Eagles.
It's exactly that.
I love him.
That. It's so hard to hate Jalen Hurts, even though he's the quarterback for the easiest team to hate in the country.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. And so, you know, it would be really cool to see. I do think that they're just a much better team than the 49ers, and they're much better at a position that really matters in quarterback. I do think that when you stack up the two defenses, I do think that the 49ers stack up pretty good in terms of talent. Corners, not so much. But when you look at the offensive side of the ball, the Eagles have the best offensive line of football. They have the weapons, you know, with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Dallas Goedert, even as the tight end, who's not as good as George Kittle, but is a serviceable tight end in his own right. Running back, Kenneth Gainwell and Miles Sanders really don't have to do much because they have the best offensive line in football. And then you add into the fact that you can use Jalen Hurts as a runner. It puts in conflict a guy on the defense. You essentially take one out. Just having a running back that can, or a quarterback that can do that stuff is just huge for keeping the defense guessing. I think they win 30-17. Mm. I think it's a pretty big margin of victory. I was thinking, you know, maybe we go even further, but I'm going to keep it at 30-17. Eagles are rolling, coming off of a huge high. Meanwhile, the 49ers are coming off of what I would call a disappointing performance. I mean, to only beat the Cowboys by a touchdown when they lose Tony Pollard, it feels like they left a lot on the table. And a lot of that is because of their quarterback. So I'm going to go with the Eagles, 30-17. They're going to the Super Bowl. Newsflash, I think they're probably going to win the Super Bowl.
I do too.
I think you're going to be right, and I think your Super Bowl... No, because you had a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, but you had a different outcome. Do you think it's going to be that way?
Yes. I think the Chiefs are winning this game.
Wow.
I said it before the playoffs. I believed it, and I believe it now. Listen, Mahomes' injury hurts them. The good news is this. I don't think, you know, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, say what you will, they're not, you know, the most athletic guys. I think even on one leg, he might be able to get out of the pocket every now and then.
And he looked better, too, after halftime when they were able to, or coming out of the locker room when they shot him up with some Tortorella.
Definitely. So, you know, I think in that respect, even at 80%, maybe it'll be like a Caleb Williams situation in the Pac-12 where he's injured as hell, but he still was like, you know, running, doing his best. Right, running the ball, getting, you know, 15, 20 yards. It was very painful, but he was doing what he could. So I'm not too worried about that. And then I also think watching the Jaguars-Chiefs game, the Chiefs were able to run the football.
Yeah, whoever Isaiah Pacheco, I'm telling you.
Isaiah Pacheco, man, he was able to run the football. I think they found something there just a little bit. And because of that, they're a versatile, you know, offense kind of that we hadn't seen before. It really didn't matter.
You know what's crazy is that, you know, we watched a lot of Isaiah Pacheco at Rutgers because, mm-hmm. you know, we're Big Ten guys. I don't ever remember him running that hard. Mm-mm. As he has in the NFL. Nope. I don't know if it's just because I wasn't paying enough attention, but I always thought he was like a gadget guy.
Yep.
Like they didn't actually give him the ball as a running back. He comes in the NFL and all of a sudden he's lowering his shoulder and you need three guys to bring him down. It's like, yep.
Totally a Raheem Mostert situation.
What is going on?
But yeah, give him credit, man. He is, he's a player, and that Chiefs running game has gone from kind of a weakness to an absolute strength this year. You know, I think that plays a factor, especially in the playoffs.
Yep.
You need to run the football, ties games away. You need to run the football in the red zone. And they were able to do that and scored a bunch of touchdowns. And then defensively, listen, I thought they did a lot of really good things against the Jaguars. And, mm-hmm. you know, they don't really have the talent that a lot of teams do. And Chris Jones, a great player, you know, and they've got great players on that defense. But at the end of the day, they're not as talented as some of these, like the Eagles. Like they're yep. not, they just don't have that luxury. The 49ers, I think to some extent, they're not as talented as the Bengals. But what they're able to do is scheme and say, all right, we're going to try and kind of neutralize talent and, you know, bring the gap a little bit closer. We're going to bring simulated pressures, just make it difficult for your quarterback. And, you know, that really helped them against the Jags. And then the secondary did a great job of holding up a lot of times one-on-one in those battles.
Yep.
So,
yep,
you know, I like the Chiefs still. And I think obviously there's the revenge factor there. And, yeah, you know,
it worked so well for them last time.
Wait, it was the regular season.
Well, I'm saying last year. Like they
yeah, lost, I know. Because it was the regular season, right? That they lost the previous game, so they didn't really have that.
No. Last year, so they lose the game in the regular season, and then they lose it again in the championship right. game.
And I'm saying, like, the game in the regular season that happened, it was like they don't really care that much because it was the regular season.
Well, didn't they already play each other they played each other this year, and they lost the regular season as well.
Yeah, but it was, again,
are you saying revenge for last year? Like, in last year's playoff games?
Right. So this okay. play, because they had their season ended last okay. year in the playoff game. It's like, okay, so this is what their whole season is coming.
So it's not revenge for
to.
Earlier in this. It's revenge right. for the last three games. How about that?
Yes, exactly. And so there's a touch of that. And then, you know, I think going back to the playoffs, it's like, and I said this, oh, the Chiefs can't beat the Bengals in the playoffs. Folks, they pretty much totally outplayed the Bengals yeah. last year. But if it wasn't for some crazy comeback and some very terrible situational play calling, they win that game easily. So it's not a whole matchup thing where it's like, oh, they're just a terrible matchup for the Chiefs. I don't believe that. And I think the Chiefs, you know, kind of prove people wrong. I don't know who I'll be. I think I'll be rooting for the Chiefs. But
yeah,
we'll see. It's a tough matchup. Really don't care for either team, but I'm gonna stick with my prediction. I still really believe it. So and then, you know, Travis Kelce, he's a dude. I think their wide receivers step up offensively.
They need to help
Mahomes in the passing game, and they'll be fine. So we'll see. But I think the Bengals AFC run stops at what, seven games or something like that, or no. Six games.
Yeah, six games.
Crazy.
You know, I do think that the worst uniform matchup we could get is a repeat of 2020, the Chiefs 49ers. I didn't like that uniform matchup that much. But I do think that any other combination, we're going to have a pretty cool uniform matchup.
Yeah.
I will say that. And so, you know, if the Eagles do win and then it's some combination of Eagles Chiefs or Eagles Bengals, I think either one of those is a good uniform matchup. You want something that's pleasing to the eyes on the biggest stage. And I didn't really like the way, yeah.
Rams Bengals?
Chiefs. Yeah, it was okay. I'm not a huge fan of the Rams jerseys. They look too IKEA-ish.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't a huge fan of it. No, but I do really like the Bengals uniform. So I think that them 49ers or them.
I like their old ones better. They're older.
Really?
Yeah. I think their new ones are much better.
I think they're really
Everyone
cool.
loves simple, huh?
What?
It's all simple nowadays. Let's get some flash going. Back to, like, you know.
Well, you don't like the Chargers, and the Chargers aren't simple.
I do like the Chargers.
Oh, you do?
I think the Chargers have some of probably the best okay. uniforms
I thought
in the NFL.
I thought you hated them just as much as you hated the organization.
No. I hate their social media team, and I hate their franchise. That's it. I do think their uniforms are really freaking cool.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so just, you know, saying that real quick before I get into the game, I don't know. I don't know how I've been going back and forth so far this week. I really don't know. I know who I'll be rooting for. And I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I can't stand Bengals fans.
Who are you picking, though?
I think I'm going to go with the Bengals.
Oh.
I think I am. I just don't know if. Chalk. I know, right? I know. I'm taking two favorites. It's terrible. But look what non-chalk gave me in both my preseason prediction and my playoff prediction.
Yep.
Right? So.
Look where it got me in my preseason prediction. Chalk.
That's true.
I got killed.
But chalk for playoff predictions so far, you're looking pretty good.
Wasn't really chalk. I had a 6-point underdog outright win.
No, I was talking about Eagles Chiefs. Your Super Bowl prediction.
Yeah, I would have liked to see if like the Bills were. I don't know what their odds were. But
who was the 6-point underdog?
The Bengals. Bengals were 6-point underdogs.
Oh, to the Bills.
Yeah.
Was it no? What was it? A kick.
It was either 5.5 or 6.
Still? Jesus. Yeah, I said that was free money.
It was free money.
It was free money. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals. I feel like Patrick Mahomes not being 100%, not being 100% healthy is really going to hurt them. I really do. I think that's a big factor. I don't know. We'll see, because Andy said that it's not as bad as it was. You probably saw this tweet. It's not as bad as it was when he sprained his ankle and then played the Raiders and threw for like 400 yards. So if it's not as bad that time, right, he should be able to.
But that was the Raiders.
That was the Raiders. I just don't feel great about it. They're going to shoot him up. If he can move on it, I think they got a much better shot winning this game. But if he is struggling to move, I just don't see a way that they can win this game. I don't know. I want them to. I really do. I would probably go with the Bengals 20-17.
Mm.
Did you give me a score? I don't think you gave me a score.
No. I'll take the Chiefs. We'll say I'll go 28. It's gonna be close. 28-24.
Yeah, I don't know if the Bengals are gonna put up 28 points.
The Chiefs.
28-24. Oh, yeah, that's right. You picked the Chiefs to win. Yeah, I think it's gonna be 20-17 Bengals. Okay. I think that's what I'm going with. Yeah, we're going with it. It's been put out in the universe. That's the pick. I was 3-for-4 last week. Obviously, got the Bills wrong. They played pitiful, pitiful football, especially with DeMar Hamlin there. You would think that they'd be more fired up for that.
You'd think.
It's
pretty embarrassing.
Seriously, like, but you have all of the emotional support on your side, and you come out flat.
Yeah, you don't show up. I mean, it's crazy. It's the playoffs. It's like, show up, man.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, seriously.
That's the game.
I don't know. Okay. Well, there are predictions, right? I mean, the season's winding down. It's kind of sad, but also hopefully get some good football this weekend.
Yep.
You know, outside of actually, the divisional round wasn't that good this year.
No. It really was last year.
It really wasn't. Last year was a lot of fun, but this year, just not there. Maybe that just goes to show how good the top of the top was this year. And we just didn't really realize it until the end of the season.
Defense was good this year, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
The only close game we had was the Cowboys game, or one possession game. Well, I guess we had the Jags-Chiefs game, but that was a backdoor cover.
It was a backdoor cover, yep.
And, you know, the Cowboys-49ers game was right there, but it was just a matter of defenses, and nobody really wants to watch.
Nobody could move the ball.
Two touchdowns scored in the entire game, so.
I thought it was fun.
I did too, but we know defense wins championships.
Defense does win championships, which is why the Philadelphia Eagles are winning the Super Bowl. Right? They got the best defense left.
I said the best. Oh, okay. No, I would say the Niners, right?
Do you think they have the best defense?
Left, yeah. The Cowboys did, but.
Oh, get out of here. You good?
Yep.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.